Must be that checklist, whatever.
Whatever.
Okay.
Let's move on. Alright. I'm not gonna fight you on it. I'm too new.
You guys wanna have a
Hello.
Seat?
Sorry
okay.
for the delay again.
Alright.
We are recording.
Alright, we're live. There's a sign-in sheet there, if you want to sign in for us. I want to welcome you to the early assistance meeting for EA 1767, which is informally titled the Grant Minor Subdivision, to discuss the subdivision of a 40-acre parcel into a 30 and a 10-acre parcel. Now, the way this meeting will work is we'll start with a round of introductions. That way we get an opportunity to meet one another. And also we can put voices with names, because we do record this these meetings. The purpose of the recording is not to trick, track, or corner anyone. It's just so we can keep an accurate record of the meeting, because sometimes we can have numerous discussions on multiple issues, and it's hard to keep track even with the best note takers. It's hard to keep track of those things. After we do our introductions, I'll turn it over to the applicants, and you can give us a brief description of what your proposal is, and we'll follow with some instructions from the various divisions and departments within our office, giving you a roadmap of the application process and procedures. So with that, my name is Ramir Fitzpatrick with Project Management and Planning.
I'm Tracy Garcia. I'm your admin specialist today.
And then I'm Tommy Hoff, the engineer.
Okay, I'm Clive Grant, my wife Karen. We're the owners of the parcel that we're talking about.
Okay. So just give us a brief overview of your plan for the property.
Okay. we are interested in subdividing the approximate 40, I guess it's 41 acres that you have up here on the board into 11 acres that contains the present house, which is the house we're living in right now, and 30 acres, which we would intend then to sell, anticipating it would be for a single family home, or if somebody bought it for grazing animals or horses, for example. We have the entire plat done so that that could be seen, and a copy of that for you is here.
Yeah. All right.
I sent you the 8x11, but this is the actual full-size plat that you probably would request.
Yeah.
The division can be seen there. It's a bit of an irregular appearance, but intentionally to include about 10 acres, that includes our house, but then also the line goes up to also include the entrance off of Walson Road and the driveway all the way around to our house.
Okay.
As part of that, not only have we had the plot done, but we've engaged Petrock and Kendall legal counsel for obtaining water rights. That is a letter to that effect. They told us yesterday or the day before on the phone
yesterday
that they had submitted the final proposal. There were a couple of objections, one I think from Colorado Springs.
City of Colorado Springs, and also
a development.
To
the water rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they have done is...
So were those, I don't mean to cut you off, were those objections made with the water court?
They have been
They've gone through court, yes.
Yeah, they've gone through the court process. I guess I'm saying who was the objection made to?
Well, on behalf of Colorado Springs and on behalf of the developers, the water the attorneys when they submitted the initial application for water rights.
For state?
Us.
Yes, at
right.
the state level.
Okay, so there were objections, but the state has already made their decrees and determinations irrespective of those.
No, I don't think so.
What's happened is our paralegal that's been working on this, and our submission for the water rights was on September 9th. So as of tomorrow, we're on the 9th month, which I guess is not too unusual. But
no.
The two objectors have submitted the verbiage that they wanted changed, and so it went. They changed the verbiage in the proposal. It went back to the objectors, and one objector said the exact same thing in different words. So then it went back to the attorney, and now the attorney has gone back with the exact request of the objectors.
The verbiage that they asked for has now been included in that.
Okay.
So we would anticipate that it would be approved,
right.
But it hasn't yet.
It probably has to do with the augmentation plan and
Kettle Creek developer is one in the city of Colorado Springs.
Right. It's probably dealing with the replacement plan because they're probably relying on some of those water rights to make sure that they're not losing them on this piece of drop in the bucket. But I guess you get enough drops in the bucket and the bucket gets full. So it's probably not anything out of the ordinary.
That's what we've been reassured.
Right, yeah, it's probably just very standard. It sounds like. Okay, go ahead.
So that's the main things that we have done are the plat that shows the division that we want, the water rights, which we are led to believe would be very nearly approved, the objections having been satisfied. We also went by the fire house that is responsible for fire protection for our land. They said basically if it's approved according to all the guidelines by you all, they wouldn't have any separate concerns.
A few years ago though, we went to them to ask them, well, right after the fires, what they would suggest for mitigation, and they actually came out to our property and gave us some suggestions on mitigation for our property, and which we followed through with.
And particularly, you know, the trees that are all around the house and basically on, you know,
right.
within about 200 or 300 feet of the house.
Right. Yeah.
And then the last thing that we did was sent letters to the 12 neighbors that we had identified that touched our property.
Yeah.
And we had the certified letters for that because the U.S. Postal System is a little confused. We're not exactly sure who got them and who didn't. We've only had one return.
It's not. All that we need to see is that there's evidence that you sent.
Okay.
Yeah, that I have. We can give that to you now, or we can give it to you later.
We'll get into that.
Okay.
You've really addressed some of the major things that that we need. With the subdivision process, we'll hear this referred to as many things. One would be a minor subdivision, but it's also a final plat. So with your minor subdivision, it's basically very few lots, little or no improvements. So that's why we call it minor versus sort of a major subdivision. So it's a minor subdivision. You've addressed the water adjudication. You're in the process of getting that done with the augmentation plan based on the documentation that you sent, which is great. You have a final plat that's already prepared, which is great. The few issues that I would want to see addressed in a little more detail would be the driveway and that creek crossing. Sure, there's a culvert there, something like that, to make sure that that's that that's adequately sized. And the reason being is that right now you have a 40-acre piece of property, and anything over 35 acres is exempt from subdivision review. Because it's an exempt parcel, a lot of things affecting the property we really don't regulate because it's exempt. You've sort of bought it as is. It's a legal parcel, and you can develop it without any. You can develop it in accordance with the zoning without any additional land use approvals. But now we're going to create a portion of. We're going to create a subdivision. We're going to have a new lot that's created for development, and so that new lot or any lots that come out of that subdivision process have to meet certain criteria. So the example I'll give you is you can build a motorcycle or a dirt bike and ride around your own property, but if you put it on that public right-of-way, it has to have a mirror, has to have a brake light, has to have a headlight, has to have certain types of things. So that's sort of the analogy of between what you have now, which is an exempt parcel, and creating something for use by the public. So there are certain standards or certain minimums that have to be met in order to do that. So one concern is that that the culvert on that crossing is adequately designed so that both yourself and future owners, can use that, and also that because of the length of the driveway, the fire department through subdivision, through the subdivision process, may require you to do some improvements to that to the driveway. And so, again, it's one thing you come out and say, "Hey, do you see any concerns?" So they may have answered a very limited question, but then once we send them a referral, once we place you into the subdivision process, then they're going to their radar is going to go off, and they're going to have a lot of different responses for you. So with the minor subdivision, there's a set of list of documents that you need to provide. One is a letter of intent, and that's just a simple narrative of what you're requesting, identification of certain approval criteria that you believe that you've met and why it should be approved. You have your notice to adjoining property owners. There's some other minor submissions. You have one of our old submittal packets, and so a lot of this information that is in there, we're not using those anymore, but the gist of the submittal requirements are there. And so you'll need a title commitment policy dated within 30 days of the application. So,
I'm sorry, what was that?
A title commitment policy.
Title commitment.
Right.
Okay. What does that mean?
It's basically when you buy a piece of property, you get it's like an insurance policy against the title, and it verifies the ownership, and it also gives you any exceptions or encumbrances that may be against the property. So if there are old easements, or someone may have retained the mineral rights, or if there's a lien, that'll all show up in the title work. So it's one of those things where a lot of times when you buy a piece of property, there's so much paperwork that you almost overlook it.
So we have that company. From 10 years ago. Does that need to be updated?
Yes.
Then?
Okay. Right.
So essentially reinvent what we did 10 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, because there could have been changes.
Sure,
there
could
have
been,
so we
want. We could have a lien on it.
You have a previous lien on it, or there may be another owner involved, and so we need to make sure that all the owners of the property sign the application. So it's just a
title verification.
Yeah.
Update. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It involves mineral rights certifications. So most of the standard stuff is in there. One thing that you will need to do is to contract with a professional either geologist or professional engineer to prepare a wastewater resource report that basically does an analysis of the soil. They'll take a percolation test, and they'll provide provide some information about the soil characteristics and suitability for septic, for an additional septic system, and they'll combine that in a report. And they can also provide additional information to meet the requirements for your geology and soils report that you'll need to provide. And that will be sent to the Colorado Geologic Survey. So you also need to submit an application to the Colorado Geologic Survey in advance of your submittal and provide us the receipt, and we'll forward the appropriate documents. You'll need to contact the utility companies and provide commitment letters, request commitment letters from your electric, gas.
We don't have gas.
You don't have gas, okay.
Just
Mountain View. Can you make a note of that? No gas. Mountain View, that they'll provide additional service to the newly created parcel.
So if we were to sell to someone who uses it for grazing or for cattle, do we still need to cover the bases the county requires,
right,
with the sale?
Right. Because that user may start off grazing, then they may say, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to put a house here. Or
then does
I want
to
sell
to do
someone.
All that again?
No.
Oh.
No. That's, see, you're a developer now. You may not. You may not
that's
feel like
what we wanted to avoid.
You may not feel like developers, but you guys are developers now.
Got it. Okay.
And so, yeah. So you have to go through the system.
As if
the, or the gauntlet. Yeah. Fortunately, because this is a small project, your gauntlet is very small.
Compared to what you deal with.
It's short, right? Yeah. It could be very lengthy. There is a creek on the property, and it looks to be is it continuously flowing, or is it just like sort of intermittent?
No,
it's
continuous.
Yeah. It's Smith Creek.
So our records indicate that this area is a likely place where Preble's metal jumping mice have could be accommodated.
Yes.
And so we'll have to refer that to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
And we have a letter from them stating, we told them what we were planning,
right.
And we have a letter from them stating that to proceed.
Right.
That
yeah,
as far as, so
right.
Do you need more than that?
Well, we have to sort of get that directly from them.
Okay.
And so in our process, they'll respond and basically say, yeah, and they need to keep out of certain areas, and I see that John put a no-build area around that habitat area, and we'll forward that to them, because they'll actually come out to the site once we do an official referral. They'll actually come out to the site.
Interesting, because we asked them to come out already,
right.
And they would do it for us rather than for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that if they do it for you, they may charge you. If they do it for us, it's just part of their statutory requirement to do that. I don't think I have anything else significant. Now, are you guys going to be sort of shepherding this the process your own?
Well, the answer is yes, but with some help, which we send an initial letter of intent.
Right.
With this,
yeah.
If we need to update that, so be it. We'll do that. But all of the things that you're describing, I'm presuming, are going to be itemized for us. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you
gave us copies of most of the sort of standard typical documents, like you fill out a mineral rights notification form, so you have your adjoining property owner. Stuff filled out. So a lot of that formal stuff you already have done. So it's just a matter of uploading it when you're ready to submit.
So the answer to your question, I think, is yes, and we'll make the five contacts or however many that we need to with the title people, with
right.
the mineral mm-hmm. person.
The geology. Yeah. Well, when you get your, with the geologist or the or you have a professional engineer, civil engineer, they can prepare a lot of those reports because they deal with that information. there's not many things that you're lacking. You're waiting on your final decrees and your approved augmentation plan. So it sounds like you guys,
you're ready to skip
two grades.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So, I mean, you guys are right on track.
Because all those grades
like,
cost money.
It sounds like, you know, just from your thoroughness and preparedness, it sounds like you guys are going to zip through this process because you have everything in mind. So let me turn the floor over to Tommy real quick. He's going to talk to you about a few engineering issues, and then we'll try to see if we can wrap this up and answer any questions that you have.
Mm-hmm. Ramir touched on most of the stuff that I want to talk about. There's nothing unique about your guys's rather to a minor sub, I guess. One thing that I saw on your guys's plat was the joint access. So you guys are going to give... Did you guys already fill out a Jaguar permit and get the joint access approved?
No.
Okay.
And that was going to be one of our questions.
We have a side note on that, too.
So this is what we...
Yep, and you turn it in to the ladies up front. And since it's already been documented... it would just have to be on the plat, and then it would just have to be basically recorded saying that you guys grant access to the future neighbor.
Okay. That's really all it would take.
Yep, exactly. You are getting your access approved, and you are also documenting saying that you basically give them access.
Okay.
And okay. It's that form right there, and it gets turned in up front.
Okay.
I think it's like $200-something. And then following that, any plat process, you guys have to pay fees, the drainage, roadway, and bridge fees. Now, you guys are in the Sand Creek Basin, which means that it's going to be $5,863 per impervious acre. Now, impervious acre would be any structure or anything that's not dirt. So your roof, your driveway, any sheds, that would all be calculated in, and then it would be converted into acres, and then it would be multiplied by that. I wouldn't expect you guys to have more than a tenth of an acre. So the number that you heard will be, you know, 10% of that, whatever your number would be. A typical value is around 7%, so less than $500 of that. Now, the bridge fee is a set price at $787. Now, all of these fees will go to pay back developers who basically put money into the basin, so they get money back. So you're paying them back for what happened, I guess. That makes sense.
So they did certain regional drainage improvements, or they may have had to build a bridge within that basin or regional detention pond to mm-hmm. collect all of the storm water within that basin. And so... So because they did the regional improvements that you benefit from, you know, when you now as a developer come in, because remember now you're a developer, when you as a developer come in, that's the mechanism that you're reimbursing, then you're paying for your portion of that improvement, which then reimburses them for covering the entire cost.
And then finally, the road impact fee, which again pays back the roadways that you guys would benefit from. Now that one has three different possibilities that you guys could do. You guys could pay a small price up front and then pay for it with taxes, or you guys could pay the full amount totally. And then I highlighted what you guys could do. So you guys could pay $900 right now, then pay the rest through taxes, through a 10 mil PID, or you guys could pay, $3,500 up front and get it over with.
So that ultimately, that fee can be paid at the time that you record your plat, and that's only applicable to the new vacant parcel that you would create, or you can defer it to the building permit fee and pass that on to either the builder or the future property owner, and they wouldn't pay that until they're ready to build. So in that instance, you sold it to someone that wanted to graze on it, they wouldn't have to pay that fee until they wanted to pull a building permit or something. I'll just be frank, the value of the property where you're at you don't want to pay a reduced fee and then have the balance paid off in the middle of it, because you'll be paying that 5 or 10 mil over 20 years.
Inflated.
And you're gonna that's, you bought the property for almost $1 million.
For 8 million.
What's that?
We bought for 8 million.
8 million. Okay, that's all. 850.
Yeah, and we did contract for deed on 850, but we paid the other upfront.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you paid $1 million for this piece of property, and so to pay 5 mil for 20 years, you would have repaid that traffic fee 10, 20 times.
Okay.
So it's best to say, have the future owner pay it at the time of building permit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're buying that's even though they're buying 30 acres of $1 million piece of property, it's still $1 million piece of property. And so you're not even gonna see $3,500 on a building permit fee. So that's my recommendation to you.
That's pretty much it. And then, as Ramir said before, you guys will have to get a drainage letter. So an engineer will be able to perform that for you and prepare that for you, and that will just...
So when you say an engineer, you talked about the title verification, I understand, is something different. Then you said the wastewater and geology.
Right. So the certain reports that you need, so they have to be prepared by a qualified professional.
Right.
And so with the geology and soils report, it requires a professional geologist to prepare. Because you're considering minor subdivision, you don't have to provide a full blown geology and soils report. You'll be providing a modified report that just has basic soil types and characteristics. And most of the professionals who are in the industry know what levels to provide. But I'll let you know so they don't get over on you. It's a modified one, and actually it's something that you can actually provide yourself. You don't have to be a professional to provide the modified report. You can go on the National Resource Conservation Service website, and they've consolidated all the soil surveys from all the states. And you can drill down to your area, and it can give you a breakdown of those general soil characteristics in your area that have been mapped, and you can just pull basic information off of the web. You can just submit that yourself.
And that's the National
Resource Conservation Service, NRCS.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, I always just go to Google and type it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just typing soils in my area, basically, and it'll be a breakdown.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a couple questions.
Mm-hmm.
One for you on the assessment of the, like you said, the roof and the buildings and that.
Right.
So if the only buildings are on what we're keeping, does that still involve the entire parcel?
So there's two different ways that you guys could go about it. Sorry, I didn't explain this well enough. If there is nothing on the property yet, it is completely pervious, it's all dirt, then 7% would be your value. It's whatever is lower, would be either your home or the 7%. Oh, sorry, higher. It would either be your home and all the impervious area there, or 7%. So you guys would pay 7% of 35, 32.
And then my other question is, we have a possible second access, and shall we leave that off of just for confusion's sake, or?
Do you have an easement, an existing easement?
We have, the woman in the house right to the right there.
Mm-hmm.
This one?
Yeah,
yes.
Right there. She has access from Old Northgate.
Yeah, there it is.
And it comes right to the corner of her land. See where her driveway turns?
Right.
Okay, if you turned left instead of right, you'd be right on the corner of what we're selling.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to give your neighbor access off that, possibly, rather than your driveway.
Well, it was a possibility. But
we have that option.
We thought we might need a second access for some reason.
Mayhaps.
Yeah, yeah. You may.
So, if
So that easement may, you need to look at the easement.
I went and tried to research the title, and when she bought the house, there was no paperwork. She bought it in foreclosure. Right. There was no paperwork on the easement.
So it was probably with this subdivision here. And so this easement may be only for the benefit of this property because it was landlocked, or potentially landlocked, because you have access from this portion of public right-of-way.
Right.
So when this was platted, when these properties were developed by plat, they were required to secure access to your property via you know, that right-of-way. So you see how this is at a right angle here. The thought would have been, if you were to develop, you would bring a road and that would come and find a place to cross this creek here and then continue on. So
just keep that in our back pocket.
Yeah, and you can investigate that, or have John go and do the research.
Try and find out.
Yeah.
Who owns the easement?
It's an easy exercise. Because you really just have to go and pull the plat for that piece of property, or pull that plat for this subdivision, and look at the terms of that easement and see, you know. Because even though it touches you, it doesn't necessarily mean that the easement on their property. Because you can't always rely on how things look.
Yeah.
Right. Because
it could be illegal,
it's not just a matter of turning. It's not just a matter of turning left. It's a matter of crossing from this property to this property, and then crossing on this person's property, and then coming to your property.
I see.
So there would need to be another easement, to get you from her property to your property, and then they could explore that.
Okay.
You know, but even though they drive across two other people's property to get to their property, and you've known them, and for however long.
One day. We've never met her, but you've communicated with her,
right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But to some degree, she somewhat knows you.
Right.
You don't know each other, but you know who each other are.
Yeah.
Right.
But even though you know who each other are, she may not want you driving over 30 feet of her property.
We made a deal with her. we didn't tell you the other part of it, and that was that we would write a restriction in our sale that she has a drop-dead view from there.
Right.
And potentially, whoever builds on our land could completely cut off her view.
Well, at least impact it significantly.
Yeah.
So you can develop a no-build zone.
For use of that, of her easement, what is attached to her house.
In essence, a trade-off.
Yeah.
Right.
We would say there's a no-build zone if we need that second access.
And she's amenable to that.
Because the value of her house goes down significantly if somebody builds in front of her.
Well, you may be able to add value, perceived value, because of a view, but really, and this is educational, you have no right to a view, and that's nationwide. But there is value added from the view, and from the protection of that view, there's value added. But I just wanted to share that with you. But yeah, if you could do that, you know, that's great.
So if we agreed with her that the easement would come off of the piece of her driveway off of her land, in other words, if
it would come up,
yeah, if we, you see, if it's right here and we just take it like that,
right.
We don't have to get
permission from other people. Well, is that correct?
You need to consult with an attorney to make sure that, that this easement, if this easement is only for her, then you may not be able to do that.
Okay.
Huh. So you'll want to consult with an attorney, and they'll advise you of that.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
That's it for engineering wise.
And also there are other fees like park and school fees that you'll pay at the time of recording. And most of those, with the exception of the traffic impact fee, the park, school, bridge, and drainage fees are paid at the time that you record your final plat. And we're talking in the hundreds in each instance, with the exception of the traffic impact fee. So it's not, we're not going to, you know, bring a gorilla in through a secret door to beat you up when it's time to record the final plat. I had anything else to share with you? I had to recalibrate my brain. I was getting set for this meeting, and I had to shift gears to go to another meeting and right into this. I think that's it. Our submittal process has changed now, so now we do an electronic submittal and review, so you can just start uploading documents. I'll get a project set up for you, and you can start uploading documents as you get them. You have your plat, you can upload that, and we're just waiting on the.
I gave you, we were going to need to upload that electronically rather than just giving it to you.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, I can almost give
John
it back to you. What's that?
John said he'd be happy to do that.
And I can give it back to you. We're moving towards a paperless society.
Okay.
Here in our department. So you can start downloading or uploading documents. I'll get a project set up for you. And I don't have, Karen, I don't have your email, I just have Grant's.
Okay, I put it
on. It's on sign issue.
Yeah,
okay.
I put it on.
Okay, so I'll add you, or actually, when I set you up, Grant, you can go in and you can add others to your account.
Okay.
So you can add
her.
Your wife, you can add John.
Okay.
That way John can just upload, he can just upload right to you.
Okay.
11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have an 11 o'clock.
Okay. So John can upload back his shop where you get to do engineering, to get your drainage letter, and the analysis of that culvert, and the probably want to get. We'll also need to have you do a natural features report that addresses some of the wildlife. And I can get actually that information. I know it's no longer available online. Actually, no, it's in that packet.
It's in that packet. Let me see there.
It's a very brief, yep. It's in that packet. I was looking at it. Just a description of, just a brief description of the characteristics of the property and that creek area. And we'll probably want to have that. It looks like it's really stable. I mean, it looks like a healthy creek.
Yeah.
Just to look at the that culvert. I think you've got a little bridge too.
There's a little bridge that goes across it. Yeah.
Right.
Have it on video. Remember the video we did on it?
relative to the
information for that report requirements.
To the bridge and to the Preble Mouse, when we were trying to figure out how best to set up the plat, and one of the big questions was the access to that. If we just need to say we're going to share the driveway,
the driveway comes down and crosses that bridge,
mm-hmm.
and then could turn left and
right.
go right to the 30 acres.
Right.
And in fact, on the plat, John has sort of
he's got
put a little stub.
I saw that. Right. Yeah.
And so, in order to not have to disrupt the poor Preble Mouse's habitat,
well, it's already been sort of affected by your driveway.
Yeah,
we don't want to affect it anymore.
Right. We're not changing
right.
where it is right now.
Right.
And so that you know, once we. You know, you can see that the driveway comes down there, but then turning left and carrying it on into somebody else's land should affect that very little.
Right.
And so, from the Preble Mouse standpoint, given the fact that we can share a driveway as for access, that should relegate at least. My perception of that is it should relegate that to rather minimal concern.
Right. We're dealing with just certain reports that are required just to provide basic information. And again, they don't need to be lengthy. It just needs to be some type of acknowledgement that, hey, these are the conditions that are on the site. This is what's been done to protect those features. This is what will be done to preserve and maintain those features. So,
on a personal note, I just want to say that the reason that we're doing all this, and this probably doesn't even have, you don't care, but we have a lot of money tied up in this land,
mm-hmm.
and we're living in a house that has a heaving foundation and has nothing up to code. Because it was built in the 70s with
right.
cash and no code or inspections
right.
or anything. So we're looking to get some money out of the land so that we can upgrade our house.
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Want to live on land with seven other lots either.
Right.
So that's why we're looking for a single buyer.
Right. And you can put deed restrictions to prohibit future subdivision of the property, someone why. One thing I forgot to mention, and I need to wrap this up, because even though we were all detained, we're going to try to make sure that we can get back on track. You'll need to have restrictive covenants drawn up that will govern your augmentation plan and the terms of your court decrees for your water, and also deeds convey the water rights to that portion of the water rights to the future property owner, and so your water attorney can prepare all that stuff. So the cost of the minor subdivision is $4,537. That's the only fee that you'll pay up front. You'll also pay the Colorado Geologic Survey review fee up front, and then we'll forward them the appropriate information.
That was something like $450.
That's gone up.
Okay.
You're looking at an older form. I'll
okay.
forward you a copy of the
okay.
new form.
Okay.
What else? I'll get you an account set up. It'll have all the submittal documents that you need.
Okay.
If you see something there that. Maybe we didn't cover in detail, or that you have a question about, feel free to give me a call or shoot me an email.
Okay.
I'm more than happy to get back with you on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? It's a great meeting. So sorry we had to delay. We got you out of here you had to wait 30 minutes, but we got you out of here 10 minutes late. So
thank you.